did in a couple of places yesterday. We can walk into a place where we're 20 points behind, and in a couple of weeks, we can tie her or beat her. And that's given us enormous confidence about the road that lies ahead.
Thanks, Tad. We're going to take two more questions. As a reminder, this call is being recorded, and a recording will be available in about 30 minutes after our call wraps. Our next question will come from Alex Seidswall. Alex, your line is live.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for doing this. Tad, you mentioned earlier in the call that something about the pledge delegates not necessarily having to vote for whom they're pledged to. Could you just describe that process a little bit more for those of us who aren't as familiar as you are with the process? And are you going to make an active campaign to get people who are pledged to switch their votes?
Well, no. Let me start with the second part of that question. We're not out, trying to convince anybody to do anything at the moment, okay? And the reason I brought that up is just to illustrate the fact that, in 1980 is, I think, a very good example of this, that if you are the front runner in a nominating process, even if you have a significant delegate lead, that delegate lead with pledged delegates can become very soft if you don't continue to win. That's the point I'm trying to illustrate. We don't have a plan at the moment to be calling all the Clinton delegates, once they get selected and try to persuade them individually to be for Bernie Sanders. But we do believe that if we can succeed in the second half of the process as much as Hillary did, or even more so, that there will be enormous pressure on people who are going to be delegates at this convention to do the right and responsible thing. And we think the right and responsible thing will be to support the candidate who is the strongest candidate going up against the Republicans, particularly if the Republicans select Donald Trump as their nominee. We really think that changes the game in a fundamental way, that Democrats will be deeply concerned about having the possibility of a guy like Trump being the president of the United States. So as to the standard that I was referring to in the Democratic Party, in 1980, when we had the big fight over this, the standard was that a delegate who didn't vote for a candidate for whom they were elected could be removed physically from the floor of the convention and replaced by an alternate who is pledged to that candidate who would cast the vote in favor of that candidate. After the 80 convention and the Hunt Commission, the standard of the Democratic Party was changed to a standard that we now refer to as fair reflection. That standard is embodied in the rules of delegate selection and also in the call to the convention. And it says that delegates shall, in all good conscience, fairly reflect the expressed sentiments of voters who participate in primaries and caucuses. So that is our standard. It is not a standard embodied in a law, for example, that says that you have to vote for somebody. By the way, just as an aside, many states do have laws like that, but I think it's been demonstrated, constitutionally, that those laws, cannot be enforced in light of the Democratic Party's very strong First Amendment associational interest to make its own party rules. Okay, the Democratic Party rule will define what happens in this instance, and that rule is a standard of fair reflection. So those delegates are, free to do what they want to fairly reflect the expressed sentiments of voters who participate in primaries and caucuses, but they are not bound in any way to do so.
All right, our final question. Again, this will be our final question. This call is being recorded.